Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together around your word. We pray that we might be blessed, edified, and encouraged. For we thank and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others, or it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love is produced by the filling of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, and faith. So, another passage talks about being perfected in love or completed, where basically you operate, your soul operates under agape all the time. And what I've noticed here in the church is that we don't have enough of it. Should have been done 30, 40 years ago. Should have been completed in agape. And I don't see it. And it's a breakdown of the individual believer. You can tell the way people in the church react. They react, they're not forgiving, they live in the past, they hold grudges, they allow stuff to bother them that shouldn't, not under agape. People in the church, I find, don't do that. So we're going to take a look at what love is. And if you don't measure up to these things, it just shows that you're not completed in love. God, when he's working with us, he brings certain trials into our life, certain types of suffering. Suffering that you go through that somebody else isn't going through. But the trials that we have are tailor-made by the Father to complete us in agape love. And that's the problem that we're having here in the church. I think it was 30, 40 years ago, I got completed in agape. And you'll have refresher trials, duplicate trials, where you're forced to exercise agape. You're forced to. The trial brings it out in your life. So I don't see that in the church. I mean, you're suffering, but you're not learning the lesson of exercising love. Not because the other people that are around you deserve it, but because of who you are and what you've become. And that's really a sad commentary. I find a lot of judgmentalism, criticizing others. That's not agape. So, to get it, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he produces agape in you. When you find out in the passages, these abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, the agape attitude. It's a non-emotional attitude. no feelings connected with it at all. It's not a personal love concept where you have feelings of human love towards somebody else, but it's not those. It's an attitude, and it's produced by the Holy Spirit. And the problem we have is that it's our sins. That's why to get it, you have to confess your sins. You have to admit to yourself and to the Father that you're doing wrong. I can't make you do that. I teach you. That's my job, is to teach. But it's up to you to apply these things. And our first one here, I fell down this week and jammed my spine. The King James translates love as charity. I have no idea why that's how they translated it, but it is the word agape. And the NIV translated it as love is patient. And that's true. Patient with, and generally, makrothumia is the word here. And there's two words for enduring, and one is makrothumia, and the other one has to do with patience in a trial. We are just hurting and suffering and miserable. But this one here deals with people. So this is a people concept, and you become, if you have agape, you're patient with other people. Now, if you're not patient with other people, you have to admit that to God. And what I see is a lot of denial. I don't understand how you can make it this far without having a healthy, confession of sin concept. The word to confess is homologeo, and it means to say the same thing or speak the same thing. You see, there's how we look at ourselves, and then there's how God looks at us. We think we're in the right. We have this standard where we can do no wrong. But God says we do wrong. So what do we do? Well, we have to look at ourselves and realize that, wow, I'm not as squeaky clean as I thought I was. And you have to admit to yourself that what you're doing is a sin, and you have to admit that to God. We have to speak the same thing as He does. He looks at us and He says, this is right, this is wrong. We have to agree with Him. The agape is patient, makrothumia. And the word is a contraction, makrothumia, combination of two words, long and angered. And to understand that, you have to go to a term we use. Well, he is short-tempered. What does that mean? To be short-tempered. Means you get angry over nothing. You get angry quickly. That's short-tempered. The antonym would be long-tempered. And we have a way of getting upset when people don't meet our criteria. And we get angry. The other word for patience is hupomeno, or hupomone. And it's patience during a trial. But our word, makrothumia, is patience with dealing with people. obviously in the ministry, you developed that pretty quick, dealing with people. But that should be the case for everybody. With your children, with your spouse, people in the church, things going on in the country. And it just shows that you don't have love if you don't have patience with people. You don't have love. So what should you do with that? First thing you do is confess it to God. And God will bring these trials around in your life, tailor-made for just you, to show you what you're lacking in. That's important, is to show what you're lacking in. Because the fruit of the Spirit is, the first one on the list is agape. In our passage here, at the end of it, and now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. Now, you'll have an ascendancy and a descendancy in the grammar where a word is found in the sentence. So this one in what verse is that? Verse 11. It has, cuts right into my back and it hurts. It's faith, hope, and love. So it's going up like this, building up to the climax to show that love is the greatest. Sometimes you find love put first to show that in the descendancy from love, these other virtues come about. So our word in verse 4, it starts with love. And then from having agape, these are the things that you can expect from it. And that is, love is patient with people. It starts with love, and it goes down to what's derived from agape. So no matter which verse we're looking at, and whether love is at the beginning or at the end, it builds up to a climax in the end. So what that should tell you of how important love, sorry if I sit there and moan. I mean, every once in a while that skin that was torn off hurt, so then I got both knees doing it. So I'm kind of loaded up this morning with pain, so you just have to be patient with me, understanding. Well, our next paragraph talks about how people can be insulting, rude, condescending, hateful, abusive, proud, spiteful, vindictive, selfish. By the way, in selfishness, people who put themselves first in their agenda are not operating by agape in their life. And once again, where we get agape is God provides it in the filling of the Spirit. So it just shows you're not filled with the Holy Spirit in your life. I say these things not to chide you, make you feel bad, but to point them out. And it's something that we're desperately lacking. One of the problems of living in the last days, 2 Timothy 3:1, is that people will be selfish, self-centered, self-seeking. And we see that around us all the time. They don't really care about other people. They will say that they do, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and it's just not there. They want money and things. It came up with an adage decades ago about this whole business of life. And generally speaking, you'll find there's two kinds of people. There are those who love things and use people. Then there are those who love people and use things. So which one are you? You really have a compassion for other people and what they're going through, their sufferings. What about your life? Is your life centered around stuff that you want? Things that you're trying to get, more things? I think, by the way, that time I think could be coming to an end with the economy going downhill so quickly. Bob Thiem coined this term years ago. He calls it impersonal love as versus personal love. Personal love is where you love your husband, your wife, your kids, a friend. And to have personal love, it's a reciprocating love. You love A, or you're A, you love B. And there is something about B that makes you love them, maybe a respect for who and what they are and what they do. Maybe a feeling of love between a girlfriend and a boyfriend, or between a husband and wife, towards children, or something about them that causes you to love them. Now, that's A loves B for this or that reason. Now, to have personal love, B has to accept A's love. And some people can't do that. They don't have the capacity. But now B accepts A's love. Then what does B do? They reciprocate it. And so we have to have this cycle. And that's why it's so hard to lose, for example, a friend. Friends for 20 years, and you had a great fellowship with each other. You did things together as families. So that's a personal love. But when B gets her nose up in the air over something, then they take off, break the friendship, get a divorce, things like that. And that hurts. So when it isn't reciprocated for one reason or another, it hurts. That's why it's very important to be careful about who you have a personal love relationship with, because they have to have the doctrinal capacity. Or if they turn away from doctrine, it'll break your friendship up. But agape doesn't do that. And if you have personal love relationships that go astray, you have to always go back to agape love, because it's not dependent upon me. And I like to look at agape as the rays of the sun. You see, the sun still shines. It is not dependent upon who it's shining upon. And it's not expecting any light back from it. The sun simply shines. And that's what you have to do with agape. You just let it come through. Normally, naturally, it's not dependent upon other people. And you should be able to agape the worst criminal in prison as much as you do your own child. Can you do that? I say, heck no, they're no good. These people in prison, they've done vile crimes. That's okay. You see, you love, not because you're dependent upon that love coming back, but you simply love. You're like the sun shining in the sky. That And that's one of the ways that you know if you have a copy. And I've had years of being down here, decades of dealing with druggies off the street, alcoholics, people who just got out of prison, and didn't mean anything to me. I still agaped them. Now, can you say that? Can you say that you have the same agape towards them as you do your own spouse or child? And it's a big problem solver when you're going about your daily living. So our first attribute is there's no vengeance to it. You don't try to get back at people who hurt you, who say and do mean things to you. You still have agape. So the first one we look at in dealing with do I have agape in my life is, am I patient with people? And it's real easy to be impatient being a minister, but you still have to be patient. It's a live and learn type of thing. And remember, the Holy Spirit, when he is in control of your soul, he produces this. So if I don't have this, and when I say, not once in a while, but as a way of life, what should I do? Acknowledge it to God. Confess it to God. Another one is Christuo, love is kind. Now these are found in the verb form, present tense. And what does the present tense tell us? You do it every day. And the word Christuo is just another way of looking at the patience with people. And here we have patience with other people, but also treating them kindly. I watch these shows, and they have a lot of British TV in the shows that I watch. And I notice that they're really good-natured, kind people, all the ones I see. Not so much Americans, but it's good to see that. Now, it's having a quality of kindness, but it deals with acts of kindness. Because it's really a verb that has action to it. So, it's not treating people as they deserve. If we did that, we'd be shooting each other in the streets. Well, they're already doing that. There's no harshness about it, about you. So you have to look at your life and ask yourself the question, am I gentle with my treatment of other people? Or do I have harshness about me? There's a do you have children for no reason at all, just run up to you and hold on to you and want to be affectionate. What does that tell you? Well, children are pretty honest. They recognize certain things. They feel it. They can't articulate it, but they can feel it. They can feel that you're kind, if you are. So this is going off the checklist of self-analysis. Is this me? Am I kind to other people? Do I treat them with kindness? Or is there a harshness about me that is off-putting? That's a question you have to ask yourself. And if you're not, that just simply shows that you've not been perfected in agape love. And everything that God puts us through and the trials that He tailor makes for us is to show us what we're lacking in and something that we've got to work on, right? And it begins with recognition. You have to recognize these problems with your spiritual life. And then what do? Admit them to God. He'll forgive us and cleanse us. But we've got to see the truth in ourselves. I mean, even getting saved or coming back to Christ, you've got to recognize a lot of things about your life and have a change of mental attitude, don't you? It's what we call repentance. Like last Sunday, I had three concepts, or four with the verb. Stop doing something. Start doing something. Keep on doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. And then get to the place you do it as a way of life. So if you're not kind or any of these things, you got to stop being harsh. You got to recognize what there is about yourself and change. You got to start becoming kind. In fact, there's some verses in Colossians that deal with kindness. And it's a verb put in a command form. And it shows that we're not doing something right, and we're to start doing this. And when do I start doing this? Tomorrow or today? When you hear these words in the class, you've got to, while you're sitting there, ask yourself the question, does this refer to me? Because like Dean tells me, he says, there's nobody that hits the practical side like you do. Because it doesn't do us any good to know these things and not what? Do them. We've got to start becoming kind, start becoming gentle, start loving. Leave this other nonsense behind us. And then once we do that, we got to keep on doing this in our lives until it becomes a what? Keep on doing this every day until it becomes a participle, a way of life, where it's just not that you do kind things, which is so important, but you do them as a way of life. It's you are kind. And you deal with other people in kindness as well as patience. Now, this is what love is about. We're talking about agape. It's not like the other kinds of love. Agape is a different critter altogether. Now, we have a verb form here, and if it was a noun, it would be emphasizing the quality of kindness about us. But and we should have that, of course. But in the verb form, it's the acts of kindness towards one another. There's different definitions. Like a new wine or liquor that has a bite when new. But if you allow it to age over the years, it mellows out, becomes smooth. But some people get like a vinegar. Sometimes wine will turn into vinegar. Anybody know how that works? Why? If wine is exposed to the surrounding air, it picks up spores, then it will get sour and bitter. And that's when it's being exposed to the world system and the evil out in the world. It's like water, bitter water. Now, water isn't bitter. But how does it, you find a pool of water out in the desert, how does it become bitter? Pay attention, because this is where you're going to learn something. Water is just water, life-giving water. But it picks up toxins from the soil around it. And that's what turns it bitter. Becomes alkaline or whatever. And that's a lesson for all of us to learn. We become embittered in our lives because of the toxins of the world system around us. I knew a guy attended the church years ago, and he was a wonderful Christian man. But he turned bitter. Where did he get it from? Well, not from the church. He got it from his parents. By hanging around his parents, they were bitter at the way things were going in the country. And that bitterness in a surrounding environment turned him bitter. Lesson to be learned here? You got to know who you're hanging around, what kind of people they are. Maybe your wife or husband, maybe parents, co-workers. It could be any of these different places. So what do? Well, we got to recognize it, confess it, and remove ourselves from it. If you take that same pool of water and it was up in the mountains, you wouldn't be having this problem. It's different. Different soil, different surroundings. Maybe animals pooped in it, who knows what. But it's something from the outside came to the inside. And for you married couples, you need to be very careful of who your wife is hanging around. Because I've seen, I remember I was selling one time and I came by and a customer was interested in my product. But his wife wasn't there and he wanted me to pitch it to, because they were both eager, pitch it to him. But a week later, I came back through town, stopped by. He was all depressed. His wife was divorcing him. Well, why? Well, she's hanging around with her girlfriend who's going through a divorce, and all she did is talk down marriage, and his wife succumbed to the whole thing. It's very easy to destroy a marriage from the surrounding soil. or your children. When you raise your children, you're always on them about who they hung around with. All these kids in prison today, they were influenced by other bad seeds. And they worked on them, and next thing you know, they're doing time with their friends. Do you see what I'm saying? Johnny Cash used to have a song saying, "I keep a close watch on this heart of mine." Well, what's he saying? He finally found a woman that he loved and would stick with him. That was his wife. And he was doing everything in his power, because they already spent time in prison, to keep him going back to prison. And he recognized a lot of it had to do with the people that he was hanging around. So you need to do the same thing. And what are we shooting for here? Being a kind individual. But not just being kind, but acts of kindness towards other people. And it has nothing to do with them deserving it. Because, you know, most people, we don't deserve the kindness that God has shown to us. And it goes back to another passage teaches about us being subjected to the grace of God. And you need to think about that. God has showed us so much grace. He has been so patient with us. By the way, I do confess the grace and kindness that God has shown and his patience with me. As I look back, I'm not the easiest person to live with or live around. I'm stubborn and strong-willed, and in spite of me, God has still been patient with me and kind. And he's taken care of me over these years. Don't forget that. Don't forget that all the good things that's ever happened to you from God is because of his grace. Therefore, ergo, he wants me to be gracious to others. And that's very clear in scriptures. To expand the grace, keep on doing that, has been shown to you by God. Has God forgiven you all of your horrible sins? Yes, he has. And me too. We forget of how bad we were. We forget that. And we need to do that with other people. That's one of the concepts of agape, is being gracious to others as God has been gracious to you. The forgiveness that he shows us constantly, not only in the day that we came to Christ, but just in our day-to-day living. Don't you think that God has been forgiving of you? Your monstrous sins? See? If you can't be that way with other people, that just shows you're not perfected in agape yet. You see the humbleness it brings about in you. So quiet in here this morning. Agape mellows the soul. I mean, I don't even like to think of what kind of man I was back in my 20s. Don't even want to think about it. Ashamed of everything. And I made a vow and asked God to do it so that I wasn't ever that kind of man again, where you hurt people. We want to help people, not hurt them. Agape motivates us toward acts of kindness to others. Now, what is kindness? Well, first thing about it, it's intrinsically good. You won't be doing any bad things. Secondly, it's beneficial to the other person. So whatever we do for others must benefit them in some way. And third, what sets this word apart is gentle with other people. So the ideas of softness and gentleness are found in Christuomai. Just so that you know, your actions towards other people must be intrinsically good. Secondly, it must benefit them in some way. And third is the gentleness aspect of it. Now, you take a spanking. A spanking is beneficial to that child that's doing the wrong thing. But is it gentle? Nope, it's not gentle at all. So there is something that's intrinsically good. When a child has done wrong, it's intrinsically good just to discipline them over it. But the discipline will be painful. But it's still good for them. But that's not Christuomai, because Christuomai must have the idea of gentleness in it as well. This goes back to how we talk to people. People's words can be cutting at times, hurting, painful, criticizing them, fault finding. There's no gentleness to that. So quiet in here this morning. The difference between kindness and gentleness is the gentleness aspect. That's what makes Christuomai stand out like it does. But being filled with the Holy Spirit and operating in our new natures. And remember, every time you're filled with the Spirit and every time that your new nature is activated, you're becoming like Christ. If you went to Christ in person, how would you expect or hope that he would treat you? I'm asking you a question. Would you expect him or hope that he was loving, compassionate, understanding, merciful, non-judgmental, all of those concepts? How would you feel if he talk to you like you talk to others? It'd be a bummer, wouldn't it? Because out of all the beings in the universe, I would expect, I would hope that he would be understanding and accepting, which he is. So if that's how he is, how do you think he expects you to be? I think the way that what he expects from us in our dealing with other people is that Christ-like character of being loving and accepting, to be understanding, consideration. You know, the word consideration is Like when you eat at a dinner table and you have certain table manners and many other such things. Well, that's in consideration of the other people sitting there. That's why men take off their hats or should take their hats off when going out to have something to eat. It's where you don't talk loudly or be a buffoon and just low-life vulgar stuff, where you don't have cussing and swearing and stuff like that. It's in consideration for that other person in the room. And I think with us, we should be the same way with each other, how we treat each other. One of the things that got comments from the unsaved in Greek society was how they could tell Christians from other people. Let's see if you can guess the reason why. It's because, and the scripture mentions this, because of the love they had for one another. So, could that be said about us? The love that we have for one another. Do we have love for each other? Do we have an agape mental attitude towards each other? See, what I've seen in the Christian churches is just the opposite. A lot of fault-finding and judgmentalism, a lot of anger, harsh words spoken. Does that sound like love to you? No. It doesn't. Second Timothy 3 has, in the last days, people will be abusive, unforgiving, slanderous, brutal, treacherous, no self-control, boastful, rash, conceited, and selfish. So if we're like that, how can we manifest traits of gentleness and kindness? Even if they don't deserve it. You see, you're kind, not because of them, but because you're kind. You're a kind individual. And you're kind with this person and that person. You treat everybody with kindness. What a marvelous thing to say about an individual. Even the unsaved talk about it. But random acts of kindness. And sometimes you see these things mentioned publicly. And it makes you feel good to still see that there are kind people out there. And they're kind all the time. Or kindly, all the time. Not because people deserve it, but because of who and what they are. And it's an amazing thing to witness in society. And you can be one of those people. And if you're not one of those people, you're not perfected in agape. My last point was to be witnesses for Christ, not just with our mouths, but with our lives, so that the Christ that is in you shines outward. And I'm afraid that even though Christ is in you, he's not being manifested through you. And that's something we've got to work on. And if you're bitter about something or towards people, if you're resentful, you don't have a copy. And I know that we've all gone through things in our lives, kind of beat you up, knock you down. And I know that, but regardless, we have to think about who we are, who we belong to, where we're heading for in our lives, we got to realize that we're made again in the image of Christ, that Christ dwells in each one of us. And one of these days I'm going to shuck this mortal body and the sin nature found in it. And I'm going to be shining like a star throughout all of eternity. I'm going to be seeing God with my own eyes. I'm going to see Christ. I'm going to get a new body, radiant and gloried. And I'm only going to be here in this world for a short time. And I have an inheritance for all of eternity, all due to the love of God and His grace for me. So we got to rethink our position. We're not American citizens anymore. We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We got to realize it. I'm just passing through this life, that's all that is. I'm a pilgrim on my way to a better place. And I can't allow myself to be drugged down to this terrible place of bitterness and revenge, what have you, striking out because I've been hurt. I'll tell you, everybody gets hurt in this life. I mean, one way or the other, if you haven't been hurt, raise your hand. That's ridiculous. We've all been hurt. Families failed us. People left us. Friends abandoned us. Spouses divorced us. We've been kicked 6 ways from Sunday. We've all gone through it. So what do you do with it? If it's from a personal relationship, you admit your lack of forgiveness and just let it go. Let it go. There's two words for forgiveness, and charis is one of them. It means just grace them out. Aphiemi is another one. Aphi, long E-M-I. And that means to just let it go. Let the anger go. The unforgiveness go, let it all go. Agape love. See, it's not about them, it's about you. There's people that have hurt you in their life, your life. They probably could have moved to another town or state, right? But we're still upset at that. We gotta let it go. And that goes back to ex-wives, ex-husbands, ex-boyfriend, girlfriends. Just let it go. You're holding on to it. Picture yourself letting go of the balloon and let it go. Go away. You're the one that benefits. And those around you benefit. Because if you're angry about things in your childhood or your growth patterns, if you're angry about them, you can't live the Christian life. It's about forgiveness. Our next one is, charity envieth not. Well, I know this much. That speaks of most American people, because they have zealous in their lives. They're jealous and they're envious of other people who they got married to, the house they live in, the clothes they wear, their success. They're just jealous or things. They want more things. And they play on that through the modern advertising, is to get people jealous of other people. So they got the same toys or better toys than the other ones do. That should not be in our vocabulary. We should never think like that. Should never be a part of the Christian's life, being jealous of other people. And I think being under doctrine for years, you're overcoming a lot of that. And jealousy. You're glad. These large churches, a lot of jealousy in there. But that shouldn't be us. Somebody gets a promotion or gets married, or we had a gal in our church in another town. I can't remember how many weddings she went to. Best woman, or whatever they call them, bridesmaid. And the only thing is, and she was an attractive gal, had a gentle spirit, but every time she went to these weddings, she went home to the blazing, glaring reality that she wasn't married. There she was, single, month after month, year after year, still single. Well, she'd become the bridesmaid for somebody in the church who's getting married. And it was something that she had to wrestle with. Of course, there'd probably many other people, women in the church, would say, here, take my husband. I can't stand him anyway. But when she moved out of town, went to a different church, and she got married. What's that mean? I don't know what it means. Maybe in the church, that's where her right man was. Anyway, she found a church and found a man and got married. These things are open invitations for resentment. Oh, woe is me. How come I can't have this? Everybody else does. And you can get very bitter over this. Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? You not having what you want and everybody else is getting it. Well, first thing you must do is recognize that's wrong. Then what do I do next? Confess it to God. And then realize that God has got personal control of my life, and to be thankful for my situation, my status quo. Be thankful. If God wanted you to have this, he would have done it for you a long time ago. And because you haven't, just be thankful. Because you have a loving Heavenly Father who had his son die for your sins. And he does love you. He said, well, how come I don't have this or that? Well, maybe it's because he wants you to be thankful for what you do have, to be humble, and to forgive God and forgive the others, whoever it is you think you've hurt you. Very quiet here this morning. I just find it odd. Charity envieth not. Envy is zelos, which is what we have here, and jealousy is phthonos. Phthonos is thought to have been the worst. Envy is where one sees something that another person has. Car, house, nice furniture, new appliances. I don't know, I've always been content wherever God flops me. I've lived in four or five houses here in town, and something down at the bottom to a nicer one at the top. And I've been content in each one. I'm content to just have a roof over my head and a bed to sleep in. Whether it's a little apartment on Railroad Avenue or a nice house out here in Western Riding, I'm just content. Are you content with your house, your furniture, the spouse that he's given you? That's the question you have to answer. Are you thankful? I want to be married. I'm single and I want to be married. Are you thankful that you're single? I mean, I know couples here in town like, wow, should have never married that girl. And it's just created problems for them their whole lives. Is that how you want to spend your life? Fighting and arguing with your spouse? Being single can be a lot better deal if you just realize what God has saved you from. Because what does 1 Corinthians 7 tell us? God has called us to what? Peace. God has called us to peace. And even if he or she leaves you, divorces you, whatever, let them go. Let them go. Don't try to get them back because you're trying to save face or be honorable or whatever. Just let them go. Because he has something better for us. That's to have peace in our lives, which should be your goal. And what produces peace in the soul? Love, joy, peace, provided by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to shoot at. Go after peace. Make it your goal. Does your revenge tactics, does that engender peace? No. Being upset over everything, unthankful, ungrateful, does that bring peace in your life? No. You have to go back that you were saved by the grace of this benevolent Father who didn't hold anything back in his love for you, including the horrible death of his own dear son to pay the penalty for your sins, to bring you into a relationship with him. That's the kind of being that's behind you. So that's what we got to keep in mind. So an envious person sees people with nicer furniture, new appliances, TVs, jobs, position in the company, husband, wife, kids. They envy that and want it for themselves. And that's the crux of what we see going on in America today. Jealousy, on the other hand, not only wants what the other has, but seeks to deprive them of it. That's what they consider to be the worst of the two. So, how does that work out with the boy-girl relationships? Well, woman sees another woman's husband. Envy would be where she wants to have a husband for herself, so she's married. But jealousy looks at it. A woman sees another woman's husband and wants a husband for herself. But Thanos is where she wants to steal her husband. to take her husband. And probably the reason behind all burglaries and crimes in America. They don't have any nice stuff, so they go steal other people's stuff. Or they rob stores that have this stuff. And instead of getting a job and earning the money, or buying a used TV, they go steal somebody else's TV. As they brought out here on the subject, covetousness is the desire to have more things. You've got one TV, you want two or three. So it's just to have more things. So it's the desire to have more of things. Well, being content is the opposite. You're content with whatever you have. I never forgot that I wanted this is years ago. I wanted one of those coffee makers. You know, an espresso machine. I don't know why. I didn't have one. I wanted one. Prayed about it. Believed. And I ended up getting five. So you know what I did with four of them? Game Boy. What am I going to do with five machines? So I just gave them away. You weren't fancy. Well, that's it, see. Yeah, it's... people go into debt all the time to get more stuff. Then they accumulate credit card debt, which gets up to like 29%. When I was in my 20s, the highest the law allowed for interest was 10%. Now it's 29%. And people are just sinking in their credit card debt. Then they get desperate, no money coming in, they go live off their credit cards. It's a vicious cycle. Somewhere along there, you got to learn to live within your means. You need to not be going into debt. And if God wants you to have it, He'll provide the dough for you to get it. But we'll stop here. Father, we thank you for the study. We pray you bless it in Christ's name. Amen.